Hello, this is yet another geography class, E-class actually, and I am still your teacher, Chinedu Ene. This class is meant for SS2 students, geography students precisely. Today, we'll be looking at world settlements. You will do well to keep your writing materials handy, to put down important notes. Okay. In today's lesson, world settlements, we are going to be discussing the topic under a number of subheadings, starting from the definition of a settlement to factors of growth of a settlement and all the way down to classification of settlements. So if you're ready, let's look at the definition of a settlement. By way of definition, a settlement can be defined as a collection of buildings with people living in them. A settlement is a collection of buildings with people living in them. In other words, there are two things that make up a settlement. For a place to be described as a settlement, there must be buildings where people can stay, where people can live, where people can take shelter, and then you must have people living in them. That makes the place a settlement. If you have buildings without people living in them, that wouldn't be a settlement. And if you have people without buildings, you wouldn't describe that as a settlement. So there must be buildings where people can take shelter, and there must be people present in the area for such a place to be described as a settlement. There are a number of conditions that favor the siting of settlements. People don't just settle wherever they see. There are things that make people think about settling in a particular place. Now, some of these favorable conditions include adequate water supply, fertile soil, land for building, good communication network, and a strong defense. Again, factors or conditions favorable for siting a settlement. One is adequate water supply. People must have some source of reliable water supply, because we all need water to survive. So there must be adequate water supply, fertile soil for agricultural purposes, land for building, good communication network in terms of roads, railways, and all of that, and strong defense to protect the people against invading enemies. Now let's look at factors affecting the growth of a settlement. It's possible that people living in a particular place may be forced to relocate to somewhere else owing to some unfriendly conditions operating in the area where they stay. In other words, for the continuous growth of a settlement, there are factors that must be on ground to encourage people to continue living there and facilitate the growth of such a place. Now, we want to look at these factors that can facilitate the growth of a settlement. One is accessibility. Accessibility. A settlement must be easily accessible by road, rail, and other means of transportation. Of course, you don't expect people to live in a place where they will be experiencing difficulty in gaining access to. A settlement must be well accessible to the people. Two is economic activities. Of course, people need some sort of economic activities to survive. So, a place where you have a lot of economic activities going on in terms of trade, farming, mining, etc., something that can provide jobs for the people, always attracts people to dwell or settle in such a location. Three, administration. Administration. People tend to settle more in places which are regarded as seat of government. This is because oftentimes these administrative headquarters tend to have more social amenities and other facilities due to the presence of government, higher presence of government in such a place. Provision of social amenities. That's number four, availability of social amenities. So people always tend to look out for the availability of basic social amenities before they settle in a place. They look out for good roads, they look out for water, electricity, and all of that. These encourage the settlement of people in a place. The next factor, number five, is the nature of soil. Nature of soil. Where you have fertile soil, it is most likely you'll have intensive agriculture going on in such a place. agriculture is as old as man himself, and we need it to survive, because almost all the food we consume, we must grow. So the presence of fertile soil in a place will also encourage the settlement of people in such a place. Absence of disaster. Of course, nobody would like to live close to a volcanic mountain, for example. So people tend to settle where they will have peace and safety from adverse weather conditions and natural disasters, just like I mentioned earlier, volcanic eruption, earthquakes and all that. So absence of natural disaster in a place encourages human settlement in such a place. Relief. Of course, you know, when we talk about relief, we're referring to the shape of the land. We're talking about highlands and lowlands. And of course, common sense will tell us that human beings prefer to live or settle on lowlands than on highlands. Most human activities occur on lowlands rather than highlands. In other words, we are saying, in terms of relief, that lowlands encourage human settlements. The availability of lowlands encourage human settlements. Number 8, which is last but not the least, climates. Favorable climate in a place will always attract more people to settle in a place. That is why the polar regions of the world have the least number of people or dwellers in the world. You don't find many people living in the polar regions, and I'm sure you know the reason. Nobody wants to freeze to death. So people will always settle where they find the atmospheric condition of the place more conducive and friendly. That brings us to the classification of settlements. Classification of settlements. We've talked about definition of settlements. We've defined settlements. We've mentioned a number of factors that affect the growth of a settlement, which includes accessibility, economic activities, administration, provision of social amenities, nature of soil, absence of disaster, relief, and climate. Now let's look at classification of settlements based on a number of factors. Now, settlements cannot be outrightly classified without considering a number of factors. What I'm trying to say is that settlements can be classified based on certain factors. These factors could be the type of settlement, pattern or shape of the settlement, size of the settlement, and function of the settlement. These are things considered in the classification of settlements. But for this lesson, we are going to look at classification of settlements based on types. Remember, I said settlements can be classified based on types, pattern or shapes, size or function. So let's look at classification of settlements according to types. Now, talking about types of settlements, the word settlements can be broadly classified into two. You have rural settlements and you have urban settlements. Rural settlements and urban settlements. So it's either, based on types, it's either a settlement is rural or it is urban. Now we look at rural settlements. Now from our previous studies, I'm sure you still remember the characteristics or features of rural areas. Let's refresh our memory a little on that. Rural areas are usually relatively small areas with socially homogeneous people that know one another very well. It could be nucleated, dispersed, or linear, and the people share the same cultural background and language. Rural areas are normally made up of few buildings with people ranging from one family to few hundreds. A rural area doesn't have much social amenities, and the lifestyle in the rural area is simple and quiet. The rural dwellers often indulge in primary activities such as farming, fishing, and lumbering. So those, in a nutshell, are the features or characteristics of a rural area. Now, a rural settlement can be subdivided into three. A rural settlement can be subdivided into three. You have one, a homestead. Homestead. That's H-O-M-E-S-T-E-A-D. Homestead. Now, a homestead is usually one family residence. A homestead is usually one family residence. It has dispersed buildings, that is, buildings that are separated from one another by bushes or geographical barriers. And these buildings contain very few people, and there is little opportunity for social gathering in a homestead. The next subdivision of a rural settlement is hamlet. That is H-A-M-L-E-T, hamlet. Also, a hamlet may be nucleated and it has few houses, usually with less than 100 people living in them. However, a hamlet always has more people than a homestead. So I say it may be nucleated, it has less than 100 buildings with people living in them, but usually has more number of people than a homestead. And then you have village. Village. A village is a large nucleated rural settlement. In fact, it is the largest rural settlement, a village. It is formed by the combination of several hamlets, and it contains hundreds or thousands of people, but still has limited services. That's a village. Now let's look at some functions of rural settlements. Some functions of rural settlements. Of course, you know that I've already mentioned that too, that rural areas are engaged more in primary functions. Now, these functions include agricultural functions, farming is the predominant activity of rural dwellers. So they are mostly involved in the production of food. Lumbering function. Lumbering function. In areas where you have forests, the people engage in lumbering activities. Fishing function. Where you have rivers, the rural dwellers are also involved in fishing. Religious function, where you have churches and mosques and shrines, the people engage in religious functions. Now, in spite of all these functions, the rural settlement has its peculiar problems. So let's look at some problems facing the rural areas. These problems include rural depopulation. As you know, a lot of people are relocating from the village or from the rural areas to more developed areas or towns where they can get easy access to modern lifestyle, like quality education, good health care, social amenities, and all of that. So that's one problem facing the rural areas, rural depopulation. Two, loss of farmlands. Now, a lot of people are no longer interested in farming, and especially a lot of young people nowadays are no longer interested in farming. And due to the rural depopulation, the lands that would have been used
for famine, either left fallow or might be used for something else. So loss of farmland and farm labor is another problem facing rural settlements. Low agricultural production. So following rural depopulation and loss of farmland and farm labor, there is a drop in agricultural productions. Slow rate of development. Of course, the rural areas do not attract much government attention than more developed areas like towns and cities, and that accounts for the slow rate of development. Other problems facing rural areas include inadequate social amenities and infrastructures. Okay, now let's look at the second type of settlement, which is urban settlement. From our previous studies, I believe you already know some of the features of urban settlements. But to still refresh our memories, urban settlements or urban areas are relatively large, densely populated settlements with socially heterogeneous people who do not know one another very well. And the settlement is usually nucleated, and the people have diverse or different cultural backgrounds and speak different languages. It consists of many buildings with thousands of people living in them. You have abundant social amenities in the urban settlement. So these are some of the features of the urban settlement. You can also consult your notes, check previous lessons to refresh your memory on the features of urban settlements. Now let's look at types of urban settlements. Urban settlements can be classified into four. Remember, rural settlement can be classified into three: homestead, hamlet, and village. In the case of urban settlement, it can be classified into four, and they include town, city, conurbation, and megalopolis. Town, it usually has several thousands of people. And then city is a large town with greater number of people. That's a city. Then conurbation, it is made up of several towns joined together, but each still maintaining its identity. Several towns joined together to form a conurbation, but each still maintaining its identity. And then megalopolis. A megalopolis is the largest type of urban settlement and is made up of large cities with several millions of people. Okay, the example of cities like the city of New York, the city of Lagos. These are large human settlements having millions of people from different cultures, different backgrounds. Now let's look at functions of an urban settlement. The functions of urban settlements are more complex than those of rural settlements. And these functions are usually referred to as secondary functions. Functions of urban settlements include industrial function. Most industries are sited in the rural areas. Commercial function, that is where you have most banks, financial institutions, and the largest markets. Administrative function, you have the seat of government usually sited in the urban areas. Sociocultural function, the urban centers are sites for the building of schools, great institutions of learning, like higher institutions. The urban area also performs mining function. And lastly, residential function. Due to the large concentration of people there, you have many houses for people to dwell in, residential buildings for people to dwell in. Okay, in the next class, we'll be looking at further classification of settlements based on pattern or shapes, as well as size and functions. So we'll stop here for today. Thank you.